Well, dear friend, welcome to A Good Word for Today from God's Holy Word. I'm Gil Hammond. And as I said, we're going to be going to John chapter 20 to begin our study today concerning the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We've been spending the last couple of sessions dealing with the things Jesus did while his body rested there in that tomb. But on this Sunday morning, on resurrection morning, by the power of God, Jesus came out of that tomb. And of course, resurrection is one of the pivotal points of our whole gospel. As Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if Christ be not raised from the dead, then we are of all men most miserable and most hopeless. Our whole hope is based upon the fact of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus testified of himself, of course, as to who he was during his lifetime upon this earth. He testified of himself, actually, while he was in the tomb, giving witness to those that were in that place of comfort with Abraham that the supreme sacrifice has been accomplished, and giving witness of himself in the temple in heaven, where according to Hebrews, he went and deposited his own blood there in the true tabernacle in heaven, of which the one on earth was merely a copy. Now we are to the point of Jesus being resurrected from that tomb. And we're going to be talking about that and his appearances today. Before that, let's go to God in prayer. Would you join me? Our gracious Father, thank you for your love and thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness. Thank you for being our provider, our protector. Thank you for your plan of salvation. Thank you for Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, that you obeyed the Father fully, completely, performing the work that he sent you into the earth to perform. Thank you for being the supreme sacrifice for us, that because of your sacrifice, we may have our sins forgiven and cleansed, and filled then, be filled with the righteousness of God himself. Thank you for the home that awaits us. Thank you, Jesus, for interceding for us daily with the Father. Thank you for your soon return to get us of the church, of your body, to take us home to be with you for all eternity. Thank you for your care and keeping of us. Thank you for your word that you gave us. As we open your word today, we pray for your guidance. Holy Spirit, you inspired this word. Be our teacher today, we pray. Give us ears to hear. Give us hearts to understand. Not just with our mind alone, but with our will as well. And may it be all for your glory and for our edification, for our building up. In the precious name of Jesus, we ask it. Amen and amen. Well, dear friend, if you're at John chapter 20, let's look at the account in John, in the Gospel of John, of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In chapter 20, verse 1, now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came early to the tomb while it was still dark and saw the stone already taken away from the tomb. Now notice it was still dark. The stone was taken away or removed from the tomb at this point before it was daylight. And so she ran and came to Simon Peter and to the other disciple whom Jesus loved, and of course that's John, and said to them, they have taken away the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him. Now notice at this point in time, all she has seen is the stone rolled away from the tomb. She hasn't been in the tomb. She hasn't looked in the tomb. She is assuming at this point that someone has come in the night and rolled the stone away and taken away the body of Jesus. Now, remember that Jesus had spoke of his resurrection, and it was fairly commonly known, certainly among those who were believers in Jesus, that he had stated on more than one occasion that he would go to the cross, that he would be crucified, that he would be buried in the tomb, and that on the third day he would be raised from that grave. So this was fairly common knowledge. Now, when this reached the ears of the religious leaders, they wanted the tomb made secure with a heavy stone put in front of it. They wanted even Pilate to place a guard, remember, of soldiers around the tomb to make sure that nobody came and stole the body away and claimed that Jesus had been resurrected from the grave. Now, of course, that's a little bit comical, actually, because Jesus was raised by the power of God from that grave, and no matter how many soldiers were there, that would not have stopped that event from occurring. So here in chapter 20, verse 2, we see Mary Magdalene finding out that the stone has been rolled away. She runs and tells Peter and John. Peter therefore went forth, and the other disciple, that is John, and they were going to the tomb. And the two were running together, and the other disciple ran ahead faster than Peter. In other words, John outran Peter and came to the tomb first. And stooping and looking in, he saw the linen wrappings lying there, but he did not go in. Now notice that John then is the first human being to look inside the tomb and see that it's actually empty, and he saw the linen wrappings lying there. But he did not go in. He just looked in. So Simon Peter arrived behind him, and therefore also came following him and entered the tomb, and he beheld the linen wrappings lying there, and the face cloth which had been on his head, not lying with the linen wrappings, but rolled up in a place by itself. Now notice how the gospel makes a note of the linen wrappings and the face cloth, and the fact that the face cloth was not with the linen wrappings. Notice that they had been folded and rolled up in a place by itself. So the other disciple, that is John, who had first come to the tomb, entered then also, and he saw and believed. Believed what? He believed what Jesus had said, that he would be raised by the power of God on the third day. So here John says, I believed. When I saw this, I believed. And then in verse 9, for as yet they did not understand the scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. So the disciples went away again to their own homes. Now, they go back to their homes, their places of residence here in Jerusalem, and probably discussing it and wondering about it. But John, it says here that John believed. At this point, John believed in the resurrection. Verse 11, but Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping. Now, this is Mary Magdalene again, who had come first to the tomb before daylight, and found the stone rolled away, ran and told Peter and John, so she has returned. And Peter and John leave, go back to their homes. Mary Magdalene stays in verse 11. But Mary was standing outside the tomb weeping, and so as she wept, she stooped and looked into the tomb, and beheld two angels in white sitting, one at the head and one at the feet, where the body of Jesus had been lying. And they said to her, Woman, why are you weeping? She said to them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. Now Mary Magdalene, even though she has seen, she's looked into the tomb now, and she has seen that the tomb is empty, her conclusion at this point is that someone has taken away the body of Christ. and she does not know where they have taken the body of Christ. That's her comment to the angels. Two angels inside the tomb, one seated at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had been lying. So these two angels ask Mary a question. Woman, why are you weeping? And her reply to the angels was, because they have taken away my Lord, and I do not know where they have laid him. When she had said this, she turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know that it was Jesus. Now, this is a turnaround. She is at the entrance to the tomb looking in. She sees the two angels. The angels ask her a question. Why are you weeping? She turns around. She's looking away from the tomb now. She's standing at the entrance of the tomb, and she sees Jesus standing there, but she did not know that it was Jesus. Now, you can, I believe, begin to understand this if we can transport ourselves back to this time. You know, resurrection is a fact for us today. Resurrection is a basic tenet of our gospel today. We believe it. We have these accounts of it. We have all these accounts of the seeing of the risen Lord that we're going to be dealing with later in the message today. Mary Magdalene had none of that. She only had a statement that she could remember that Jesus had made, that on the third day he would rise again. She was trying to process this. She was trying to understand this. She was weeping. She felt that the body of Jesus had been taken away, perhaps by the soldiers, perhaps by the religious rulers, and probably hidden somewhere. She just didn't know where the body of Jesus was. But she wasn't thinking resurrection, was she? She wasn't thinking that Jesus would appear to her as he did here in verse 14. Now, this is the first of the appearances of Jesus Christ. And the first appearance was here early in the morning on this Sunday morning, Resurrection Sunday morning, as Jesus appeared to Mary Magdalene. Now, when she saw him, she did not recognize that it was Jesus. Now, remember, it's probably in the twilight time of the morning, a very early daylight. See, she may not have been able to see him very well. She turned around and beheld Jesus standing there and did not know it was Jesus. Now, Jesus had not yet spoken at this point in time. So then in verse 15, Jesus does speak to her, and he said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking?" Supposing him to be the gardener, she said to him, "Sir, if you have carried him away, tell me where you have laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him in Hebrew, "Rabboni," which means teacher. Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me," or in the King James it will say, "Do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." So Mary is the first to see Jesus, and she recognizes him as Jesus when he speaks her name. Now, perhaps she has heard him speak her name many times before and recognizes that voice. She recognizes the voice of Jesus and tells and is able to know that it is Jesus by the sound of his voice, by the sound of her own name being spoken by Jesus. So Jesus said to her, "Stop clinging to me, or do not touch me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren." In other words, go to the disciples and say to them, "I ascend to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." Now, notice at this point that the whole process of crucifixion and resurrection is complete. It's complete now. Jesus has gone to the cross on that Friday. He shed his blood. He gave his life. He paid sin's debt for you and me. So that makes it possible for our sins to be forgiven and for our sins to be cleansed. But in the resurrection of Jesus on this Sunday morning, that completes the process. For we are resurrected to new life in Jesus Christ. And this is not just a spiritual thing. It is also a physical thing as well. We will be resurrected. Those who have already died in Christ, they will be resurrected. Their body will be resurrected from this earth. Now, if you think about it, and think about those who died many hundreds of years ago, their body is decayed, it's back to dust, there may be a fragment of a bone left somewhere, there may be a tooth left somewhere that's not decayed, but for the most part that body is decayed, it's gone, it's back to dust, it's back to ashes. But is anything impossible with God? God says that He is going to resurrect that body. That body is going to be brought out of the grave. It's going to be brought out of the earth. It may be in water. It will be brought out of the sea. That body will be resurrected, and it will be the same body that was placed in the tomb. The same body that person vacated when they died. Now, what happens, of course, since Jesus Christ died and was resurrected? Paul says that when we die, we are going into the immediate presence of God Himself. So that when we draw our last breath, we go into the very presence of God. Paul said to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So we go into the presence of the Lord in heaven. Now, those loved ones of yours who have died in the Lord, their body is in the tomb or in the grave, but they themselves are in the presence of the Lord in heaven. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that when Jesus comes back to the earth, or comes back in the clouds, let me distinguish it from coming back to the earth, His next return is in the clouds, not to the surface of the earth itself. But His next return is in the clouds, and His purpose is to catch away the church. Paul writes there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 that the dead in Christ shall rise first. In other words, the body will come out of the grave, come out of the sea. Wherever it is, it will be reassembled by the power of God, and it will be resurrected and caught up into the air. Now, what's the purpose of that? Well, remember that those who have died, the person has gone on to heaven to be with Jesus. Now, 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 tells us that those individuals will be returning in the air with Jesus. So here's Jesus with the host of heaven, with all those that have died in Christ Jesus. Those will be returning in the air with Jesus. Their body will be brought up from the earth, and they are coming from heaven. And in the air, that body and the person will be reconnected. And that person will again enter into that body. However, while that is taking place, that body is being changed. It's not going to be the same old human flesh body that we lived in and we live in today. It's going to be a new body. That body is going to be changed into one that is incorruptible, into one that is immortal, into one that 1 Corinthians chapter 15 describes as a heavenly body, a perfect body, one that won't get sick, one that won't die, one that is just like Jesus Christ, eternal. So that person then will be reunited with their body that comes up from the grave. And as Paul writes there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, while that's happening to those who have preceded us in death, to those who are asleep in Christ, we who are alive still on the earth and belong to Jesus Christ will be caught up together with them in the air. And according to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, our bodies too will be changed. We will put on the incorruptible, and we too will have a body that is perfect, just like Jesus Christ, and we will spend an eternity in that immortal, imperishable body that will never get sick and never die. So that is the promise of the resurrection. We will be resurrected from the grave, just as Jesus was resurrected from the grave, by the same power of God that resurrected him from the grave. Paul does a beautiful job of discussing this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. So I'll call your attention to that chapter, chapter 15 of 1 Corinthians, and urge you to read that. It's a rather lengthy chapter, but he does a wonderful job of talking about the resurrection and defending the resurrection and talking about the necessity and the importance of the resurrection to all of us who are Christians today. So Jesus here has appeared to Mary Magdalene. He has spoken to her. He has said, "Now don't touch me yet. I haven't yet ascended to my Father." As you remember from our last session together, I believe this was really prior to Jesus going into that perfect tabernacle or temple in heaven and depositing his own human blood or his own blood upon that altar of the perfect tabernacle that is in heaven and being our great high priest and offering a sacrifice for sin, for all mankind, for all time. So the blood of Jesus, the perfect sacrifice of Jesus, paid for all sin, for all mankind, for all time. And here we're seeing the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the grave, from the tomb, and we see him speaking to Mary Magdalene and giving comfort to her, telling her to go back to the apostles and tell them of his resurrection. So the resurrection of Jesus Christ is an extremely important event. Now, let me just take a moment to cover the appearances of Jesus Christ. There are a number of them, and of course, many witnesses who saw Jesus, who testified that they saw him. Thomas, you remember, 1 week from this resurrection Sunday morning, will see Jesus and be invited to touch him and to put his hand into his side. And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." Thomas is convinced when he is able to see for himself, when he's able to touch, when he's able to handle. John speaks of the Christ whom we handled, he said, whom we touched, who we walked with. We experienced the Christ. John writes in his gospel and in the first letter of John as well. So Jesus' first appearance, recorded in John chapter 20, verses 11 through 18, are to Mary Magdalene, and he tells her to go and tell the disciples that he is risen. And she does that, of course. Then secondly, he appeared to other women, to the other Mary, Salome, to Joanna, and to others, as they returned from the tomb. And we find this in Mark 16, verses 1 through 8, and Luke 24, verses 1 through 11. That's the second appearance. Then the third appearance is on that same day, again, the Resurrection Sunday, to Simon Peter himself. That's in Luke chapter 24, verse 34, and also Paul writes about it in 1 Corinthians 15:5. The next appearance, which is appearance number 4, to the two disciples on the way to Emmaus on the day of resurrection. This is in chapter 24, verses 13 through 35 of Matthew, and Mark chapter 16, verses 12 and 13. Remember how these disciples were walking on the way to Emmaus, and this person joined them, and the person spoke and asked them questions of why are you so sad, and they speak of the death of Jesus, and the scriptures say that Jesus opened the scriptures and spoke of himself and taught these two disciples on their journey to Emmaus. And he stayed with them and went in with them. And they did not recognize him until he took the bread to eat it, and he broke the bread and began to eat it. So, and he disappeared from them at that particular time. So we see Jesus appearing and disappearing, apparently, at will. He is able to go through solid objects. He appears in a locked room on that night. Actually, that's the next appearance. Appearance number 5, to the 10 disciples, Thomas being absent, and others were with them at Jerusalem on the evening of the resurrection day. And John chapter 20, verses 19 through 24, give us a record of this appearance to the disciples. And this was in the locked room. They were gathered together in the locked room for fear of the Romans coming or the religious leaders coming with their temple guard. So they were locked inside this room, probably the upper room. We don't know that for sure, in which they had observed the Passover and Jesus had instituted the Lord's Supper. But in any event, they were together, 10 disciples and others with them. Thomas, for whatever reason, wasn't present. And he appears to them and speaks to them and disappears. Then 1 week later, his sixth appearance is to the disciples again in the same upper room, this time Thomas being present. And this is, of course, where Thomas, he has been told from the fifth appearance on the Sunday night of the resurrection day. The disciples, of course, tell Thomas about that they've seen the risen Lord. He says, I don't believe it. I won't believe it until I can see him for myself, until I can touch him and feel him and put my hand in the nail prints in his hands and put my hand into his side. And Jesus then invites Thomas to do this. 1 week later, on a Sunday night, the disciples are all together. This time Thomas is present. They're in the same upper room or in that same locked room. Jesus appears and invites Thomas to touch him, to put his finger into the nail prints in his hand, and to put his hand into the side of Jesus. Now, many will say that this is the final glorified body of Jesus. I don't think so. In the process of his resurrection, we will see the glory of Jesus shining through more and more, until finally when we see him ascending to the Father, in the final appearance to the men on the top of Mount of Olives, we see Jesus rising in his glory. So we see a progressive glorification of the body of Jesus Christ during this time. So here, number 6, appearance of Jesus is to the disciples, with Thomas being present. Then number 7 is to the disciples when they were fishing at the Sea of Galilee. And this, of course, is given in John 21, verses 1 through 23. And it's a wonderful restoration of Peter, where Jesus says, "Do you love me?" 3 times. And Peter says, I phileo you. I love you as a brother. I have brotherly love for you, Jesus. And Jesus says, tend my lambs, feed my sheep, take care of my flock. Then the 8th appearance to the 11 and to more than 500 brethren at once at an appointed place in Galilee. 1 Corinthians 15:6 and Matthew 28:16-20. Then the ninth appearance to James, but under circumstances that we are not told about, and that's in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 7. That's number 9. And then number 10, to the disciples and the apostles immediately before the ascension. They accompanied him from Jerusalem to the Mount of Olives, and there saw him ascend till a cloud received him out of their sight. That's Luke 24:50-52. Remember that the angel stood there and said, "Men and brethren, why do you stand gazing into the heavens? This same Jesus that you've seen go into heaven will return in like manner." There's one more appearance given in the Bible, and that is to Christ manifesting himself to Paul on the road to Damascus. This special conversion of the Apostle Paul with the blinding light, the Shekinah glory. And this was Christ, remember, who spoke from that blinding light. So these 11 appearances of Jesus Christ bring testimony to the fact that he is a resurrected Savior today. He is living today, and because he lives, we too have the promise of eternal life. And that's good news, and I'm Gil Hammond for Tri-State Gospel.